Lord said this. You need to go now. I was like, are you kidding me? And the Lord repeated, you need to go now. Accent set on the now. And I knew what he wanted me. He wanted me to go down and visit Liz. I said, Lord, I gave my best excuses. Lord, don't you know it's summer in Florida? I'm pretty sure he knew that. And I just got this impression, you need to go now. So I will not be here next Sunday. I'm actually leaving Thursday. I'm going Thursday to Monday, and I'm going to delightful Florida. I was going to say something else, because the Lord said to you need to go now. And I'd ask that you would pray, because I know the Lord wants to do something in my sister's life. She'd gotten born again 30 years ago, and she thought there was a period at the end of the sentence. That's all she's done. So it's time, and I'm going, and we're going to see great and mighty things. Therefore, I told Sherry, you're in town. She goes, are you kidding me? I like to leave town on the 4th of July. I said, uh-uh, you're in town. But it's been really fun. We've known about this for 2 months. And Sherry's just been really just digging in and studying about worshiping the Lord, ministering. And this is where I want to ditch it, called ministering to the Lord. And every time I get around her, she's, whoa, 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 whoa. I was like, girl, you're ready. So next Sunday, get your seatbelts on, and she's ready to just give you some insight. Probably some of you just refresh you on what it means to minister to the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can I read you a story that a pastor forwarded on to me? Okay. Gets you in the mood here. Okay. A new pastor was visiting the homes of his parishioners, and at one of the houses, it seemed obvious that somebody was at home. But no answer came with his repeated knocking at the door. So he took out one of his church calling cards and he wrote on the back, Revelation 3:20. Next week, when the offering plate was being passed, he found the card in there that had been returned. And sort of inscripted little scribble, it said, Genesis 3:13. He quickly opened up his Bible and broke into hysterics laughing. Revelation 3:20. Begins with, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Genesis 3:10, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid for I was naked. I couldn't help but tell you that, guys, okay? So, you know, every once in a while I get these, I'm like, I just got to tell you, it's just so silly, but praise the Lord. Okay, that was a good one. Okay, last 3 weeks, we were doing the topic series on fear, anxiety, you know, what fear does to us, what God says about it, and how not to be in it. So the Lord just gave me this message just for this week. I'm not going to do a series on. I've done some before. Matter of fact, we have an incredible book in our bookstore on the topic of forgiveness. That's what I'm going to do today. And it was by R.T. Tyndall. I may have his initials wrong. T.R., you know, something like that, Tyndall. Incredible book, if you ever want to get a little deeper on this. But I'm just going to shoot some pointers to you about forgiveness. Now, I know, raise your hand if you've already heard this, a message on forgiveness. I am sure you've had a message on forgiveness, all right? Especially if you had a mama when you were growing up, they'd say, you need to forgive your brother, you know, go hug him. You're like, yeah, right. Okay. But it's so interesting, it doesn't matter how often you've heard a message, heard the word, it does something to you to hear it again. It's sort of like, this is how I look at it, it's sort of like I found a new path over the mountain, a new trail over the mountain. So I hopefully this is a new trail for you over the mountain, and I really want you to have ears that are open. I believe this will help you in your Christian walk. Because as soon as I start studying on things, boy, did I have opportunity to forgive. All right, so get ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you thanksgiving for your word. We want to bless you and worship you. We ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding. You'd open our ears. You'd open them that we would receive, I always like to say revelation, and people go, woo, but really I want revelation knowledge on who Jesus is, what he's done, and the plan he has for me. So I ask you, Father, you open our eyes to the word and the places you have for us, the high places, the great places, through your word today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, now, let me ask you this. Before we get Before we get into the message, I have to preface this. Because sometimes people just kind of go off the deep. When I talk about today total forgiveness, total, everybody say total, total forgiveness, sometimes it isn't total reconciliation. Pastor D, what are you talking about? Let me tell you this. If there's a child molester, if there's a rapist, and you've encountered that horrific incident, yes, we have total forgiveness, and I'll tell you how, but you have to set boundaries. You have to set boundaries. So much so, you might have to go to court to testify against this, correct? That's setting boundaries. And you would not be a wise woman or man of God if you did not. So yes, we have total forgiveness, guys, but sometimes you will not see this. I hate to use the word reconciliation, but it was the best word I came up with. Okay, everybody on the page with me? Okay, so, all right. Now, before I can talk about forgiveness, I have to say some things about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And some things about unforgiveness, if you are holding on to unforgiveness, will open the doors in your life. If you are holding on to unforgiveness, you actually can open doors in your life to not good stuff. So I was researching, and I'm just going to read a whole bunch of things. You don't have to write this down. But even doctors and researchers say, people in unforgiveness can have no energy, feel drained, have sleeplessness. They can have a sense of hopelessness and lose joy. They can have extreme anger and rage, bitterness and resentment. People who hold on to unforgiveness have a loss of peace and no peace of mind. They can, okay. They can have spiritual turmoil and unrest, emotional distress, and even hatred. They can have be very judgmental and critical of others because of unforgiveness. They can actually be harmful in their relationship with others. To me, that's a no-brainer, but you can lose friends holding on to unforgiveness. Right? All right? You can have unhappy homes, broken marriages, lose the favor of God, and I'll talk more about that. It can even lead to murder, people with unforgiveness, right? You kind of put those all together. Unforgiveness can lead to depression, anxiety, fear, discouragement. It can be detrimental to your physical body, causing health problems. This is doctors and researchers did all this stuff for me. I'm sitting there, yep. Okay, cause health problems, sickness, disease, eventually causing death. Unforgiving can also cause you mental and spiritual roadblocks, simply, right? So it's kind of a big thing, unforgiveness. Wouldn't you agree? It's a big thing. It's so much a big thing that it can have terrible side effects, okay? Were some of those kind of terrible? Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have been fortunate to have, I'm going into second gear. I'm really not lost. I'm going down the road here, okay? But here we go. How many of you have had, been blessed with good fathers? Okay, now, my dad was not a Christian man, but he was a good provider. He was not abusive. So, you know, he could have been a lot worse. So I would say put my dad into, he was a good dad. He did the best that he could. All right. Now, not everybody is blessed to have a good dad. I'm going someplace with this, right? Do not raise your hand if you did not have one of those, all right? And so much so, people have shared stories about their life with their dad and said it was a very abusive situation. They've had abusive situations. Now, here's the interesting thing as we're going to look in our story today. We're going to talk about a person who came out of a very abusive situation. And his name is Joseph. And we're going to look at how he handled it, what God did in his life and what God brought him through. All right? So, now, let me tell you, so you just get a feel about Joseph's crazy abusive life. He had a whole bunch of big brothers. Now I had one big brother and then a younger brother, and my big brother used to beat the snot out of my little brother. And you know, it's just, and he thought it was fun. All right. Well, Joseph's big brother, I'm sure some of that was going on, but they became very jealous of Joseph. How many of you know that story? Became jealous, threw him in a pit. We're going to kill him. But all of a sudden, thank you, Lord, some Ishmaelite traders come along and they decide they're going to sell him for money. Sell your little brother for money. Okay? And he gets sold off to these guys and taken away. Now, how many of you think that's pretty crazy and pretty abusive? Yeah. Okay. Matter of fact, that probably could be pretty close to a 10 on the scale of being abusive. Yep. Everybody agreed there? Now, question. How many of you have had anything done to you where people have wronged you, where people have hurt you, where people have been ugly to you? Okay? Now, take out your paper. Get to do this. If you're taking notes, because Pastor D is going to make it easy for you, all right? You're going to fill this in. Here we go. If someone has ever wronged you, harmed you, abused you, just been plain old ugly, the first thing you need to know is God is still for you. You can fill it in. Pastor D, you're making it easy to take notes. Yes, I am. Lane, I told him last week, Lane said, Pastor D, I took notes. I'm making it real easy. Okay, God is still for you. Guys, listen to this. God is still for you. All right? Now, turn over to Genesis 39. Today, the first part I'm going to read out of the New Living, and it was really fun. This is a really old New Living. Crack up. And then there's a new Living. So I don't know how you do on the screen, but this is my old New Living. Okay? What are you talking about, Pastor D? Just hang in there. Everybody at Genesis 39, say amen. Boy, some of you, I got to wait. Now, everybody at Genesis 39, say amen. Amen. Okay. Now, when Joseph arrived in Egypt, you remember he's just got sold off by the Ishmaelite traders? Well, they brought him to Egypt. All right. Now, when Joseph arrived in Egypt with the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, a member of the personal staff of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Potiphar was the captain of the palace guards. And the Lord, underline that, was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph and blessed him greatly as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Now, wait a minute. This guy is a slave. He's not getting a paycheck at the end of Friday. This guy's a slave, and it says the Lord was with him. Is that what yours says? Yep, okay. And because the Lord was with him, I got to finish reading. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. So we've noticed that the Lord was with Joseph, and because he was with Joseph, he had success. I think that's quite amazing, isn't it? All right? He's a slave, and God's giving him success. Amazing. Now, what's this have to do with you and your life, this real life that you live? And I'm not a slave. I'm an employee. Okay, what's this have to do? Well, no matter who's done something wrong to you, no matter who's lied about you, no matter who's been ugly to you, no matter who's abused you, abandoned you, just been horrible to you, it doesn't represent God. It does not represent God. And some of you said, Pastor D, I had a good father. And if you did, it probably helped you see God is good, right? But a lot of times when you come out of really crazy, abusive situations that should never have happened, okay? And they're hard. Many people have a wrong way of seeing who God is. Oh my gosh, I talk to them all the time and I'm going, huh? Okay? So, if you have a wrong image of who God is, let me tell you who God is. God is always good. God is love. He always is. He always was. He always will be. And this one tells me he was with Joseph, even as a slave. Okay? So God is still with you. God is still with you. All right? So number one, all right. Everybody say, God is for me. Oh, he's still for me. Hallelujah. Now, if you're taking notes, number two, not forgiving people cripples us. Not forgiving cripples us. And the crazy thing about it, not our offender. All right, let me explain. When you choose not to forgive, you're the one that gets crippled. How many say, oh yeah, mm-hmm, see that, been there, done that, yep, okay? Okay, when I choose not to forgive you, I'm the one that gets crippled and not the offender who did something to me, all right? So let's read on Genesis 39 now, verses 3 and 4. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. So Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with him. Well, yeah. Potiphar soon put him in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all his business dealings. Now, that's a little bit of the story, but let me give you some explanations here. If you choose to hold on to the hurt, because somebody hurt you, abused you, you're abused, you're hurt, okay? If you choose, you are choosing to wear it. It's like putting on a coat, you wear it. And most of the time we wear it in our face. What's the old saying? You wear your emotions on your sleeve, something like that. What? How's that go? Huh? Yeah, you wear your heart on the sleeve. Okay, I knew something like that. Well, that's sort of the same. So you know what I'm talking about now. You can usually tell, just a lot of times, especially by looking at people's countenance, all right, that they're wearing it. They're wearing it. They're wearing their hurt. They're carrying it with them. Can you tell that? You know, I was with this particular person, and I actually knew the whole situation. They didn't really know that I knew the whole story. And they started telling me about da-da-da-da-da, and then they got to this name, Ricky. And you should have seen their face. You know, I'm cracking up. I can't do it right now. But you knew right away. I was like hitting the funny bone. Oh, anybody ever hit the funny bone? I hit the funny bone on them. And it wasn't a good face. And their emotions came out. They'd been hurt. And actually, see, I knew the story. And they really, truly had been hurt. Somebody was just ugly to them. To me, ugly is abusive, all right? So, if someone has wronged you and you are wearing it, guess what? Most, you can tell. Other people can tell. You know, when I hit that name, Ricky, you could tell. They were wearing it, right? Now, remember Joseph and his brothers? Joseph and his nice bunch of brothers who were jealous of him, threw him in a pit, were all ready to kill him except for this. The Ishmaelite traders come by and they sell him for 20 pieces of silver. I wonder how far you'd get today with that, okay? Now, don't you think someone could be offended by that? Absolutely. Don't you think Joseph might have been a teeny bit hurt by that whole thing? Yeah. Boy, you guys must be so spiritual if you said, oh no, Pastor Dave, it's just like water off a duck. Yeah, okay, yes, yes, yes. But isn't it amazing that Potiphar didn't notice his hurt? he wasn't wearing it, was he? Listen, he wasn't wearing, did he look depressed? Okay. Matter of fact, I think he probably looked pretty good. His countenance looked good. And it said Potiphar noticed him. Okay. Not like the person who, as soon as I said, Ricky and all right. So we have to understand, if we don't forgive, we choose to cripple ourselves, right? We choose to cripple ourselves. And if we choose to stew, if you choose to stew on it, you cripple yourself. You're actually saying, I am choosing, I have a right to be angry. As soon as you say that, you are holding on. You are choosing to hold on to unforgiveness. You are holding on, and you're crippling yourself. Now, the most amazing thing, I've had this happen time again, someone will come up to me and they'll say, Pastor D, I just want to tell you I forgive you. I was like, what? What'd I do? And let me tell you, I do a lot. My mouth can do it. And they'll tell me this story, and I'm like, I don't even remember. Really? Because you know what happens? That person got hurt. Probably I might have, I'm from New Jersey. I can say things a little rough sometimes, okay? And so I must have said something to them, and they got hurt by it. But you know what? I was just long gone. I'm miles down the road. Don't even know what happened, okay? The offender, most of the time, sometimes, doesn't even know. They've gone on with life, but you have just crippled yourself because you're wearing it and hanging on to it. Yeah? Okay, I'm not asking you if you've ever done it, okay? You know, it's really funny. I didn't even know that I hurt them. As soon as they gave me this whole story, please forgive me. I am really sorry. Please forgive me. I truly did not intentionally try to do that. I ask for forgiveness, okay? But listen, if you keep rehearsing and rehearsing and telling the story and telling the story, that means you keep holding on to it, right? If you're telling it and telling it, you're holding on to it, right? Okay. And you know what? It messes you up. It messes you up. You're the cripple. It's messing you up, all right? And, but listen, okay, Joseph, it says, the favor of the Lord was on him. The favor of the Lord was on him. So that tells me he chose to forgive. Because he wasn't all pouty and, okay? All right. So if you're taking notes, here's the next one, number three. He had to cooperate with the favor. You have to cooperate with the favor of God. The favor, okay, huh? If you've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, if you're born again, you like all those definitions of who you are, okay? The favor of God has come into your life the day you got born again. God Almighty is my dad, and his favor has come into my life. It says it goes before you, it surrounds you, okay? Everybody know what I'm talking about, right? But you have to cooperate with that. You have to cooperate that. All right? Now, if you don't, you will short circuit the favor. All right. A friend of mine told me about her husband who repeatedly did this, and I made some not nice remark. And then one day I did the exact same thing. I'm out with my famous hedge trimmer, my electric one. I love hedge trimmers. I love, sort of like a power thing. All right. I just love it. I don't like cleaning up afterwards, but this is an electric hedge trimmer. So I plug it into my hedge trimmer, the extension cord, and I plug the other thing into my house. And I have made some sassy comment about my girlfriend's husband, and I go do the same thing. I wasn't paying attention. I thought I turned it off, and I went, and I short-circuited the electricity. And I thought, eat those words, D. Cashman. Okay? Anybody else still done that? Yep. Matter of fact, my Jack had a whole pile of them, And Gus was over one day, my friend Gus, and I said, put them together. And we sliced and spiced, because I'm a little penny pincher sometimes, but got them all working again. Okay. But let me say this. If you choose to hold on to unforgiveness, if you choose that, you short circuit the favor of God, the blessings of God, the things that God wants to do in your life. Okay? Amen. Matter of fact, unforgiveness will short circuit the authority that you have as a believer. Okay? It'll short circuit the faith that you are trying to be strong and walk in. It'll also short circuit your prayers. And there's a whole bunch of scriptures on that, but I won't go shoot them at you. So, we can short circuit the favor and the good things God has for us by holding unforgiveness. Amen, Pastor D. All right. So, Joseph had to cooperate with the favor of God in his life. The favor of God that was on his life by he chose to forgive. He chose to forgive. Okay, number four, if you're taking notes, until we totally forgive, we are the ones in chains. Until we totally forgive, we're the ones in chains, all right? Oh my gosh, I didn't even look behind me. Good job. All right. Oh, Carol, you're just helping them out too much, okay? Until we totally forgive, we're the ones in chains. But when we totally forgive, we get released. It's real simple. It's not a hard one, all right? How many of you want chains broken in your life? Then we have to choose to release. Forgive. You forgive, you release. All right, everybody say, I forgive. All righty. Now, that was just my intro. That was just my intro to get where I want to go, all right? That's why I lay in a foundation. So, if you're taking notes, this is the million-dollar question we're going to answer. How do you know if you've totally forgiven somebody? Because there have been times I thought, oh, I forgave them. And then, all right. So how do we know when we totally forgive somebody? Number one, found this out in my life. It says we don't broadcast it. We don't broadcast it to everybody. We don't, that's the word there, underline, broadcast it. Okay. Flip over to Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everybody leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. Okay, let me give you the trailer or the short story so you get up here. So Joseph has been abused, sold, by his brothers, right? And now he's in a foreign land and he's a slave, but he's got the favor of God on his life. I love saying that. The favor of God. It's not like a Pentecostal here. Should be spitting. All right? So much so he became, anybody ever see the movie The Prince of Egypt? That's cute. Come on. Disney did okay. Not too bad. The prince. He became the prince of Egypt. He became the second most important person, except for Pharaoh. Okay, he became the highest ruler in all of the land of Egypt. That is a promotion. I bet that was a good paycheck. Man, I bet you had zeros on it. Okay? But now, famine has hit. Famine has also hit Israel, where his father and his brothers live. Alrighty? Now, that's the trailer version. Here we go. Here we go. So, thinking about all that, Joseph, now, who's, you know, like head honcho in Egypt, he could have stewed about what his brothers did to him. He could have plotted a revenge. Someday when I get my hands on, someday I'm going to get in a chariot and me and my men. Okay, he could have done that. He could have told Pharaoh about his brothers. Come on. Joseph right now is a pretty important guy. Probably hangs out with the king, all right? He could have told Pharaoh, and he could have talked about it, and talked about it, and talked about it, and talked about it, right? He could have done that. But listen, nobody knew in Egypt. Nobody knew in the palace about Joseph and his past. All right? Nobody knew anything about Joseph. I guess he didn't talk about it, right? Okay. Now, you remember the saying, don't make a mountain out of a molehill? If you make a mountain out of a molehill, it's because you talked about it, you talked about it, you talked about it, and pretty soon it's this big, huge thing that's immovable. It's Mount Everest, all right? Now, you can choose to keep talking about it, talking about it, talking about it, and you'll have a mountain in your eyes that you can't move, all right? But that's what unforgiveness will do. That's what unforgiveness will do. So if you broadcast it to everybody, you have not totally forgiven. So when I was thinking about Joseph, he actually if Joseph walked through the streets, he was a hero. Come on. He was a hero to every Egyptian. They knew his position. They knew what he saved them from. They knew that their famine was coming. They knew that he had prepared these storehouses and they were going to sail through it. All right. So he's a hero, right? All right. Now, yet he didn't turn everybody against his brothers by talking about it. Now, he could have. This is a guy who's got a lot of authority. Don't you agree? Yeah, number two. He could have had them, as soon as they put their foot in Egypt, we're going to get them locked up and throw the key away, right? He could have done that. He could have, better yet, let's just have them killed. Come on. They were going to do that to me. Those are all the coulda things he could have done, right? But read Genesis. Here we go. Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one left with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. He didn't broadcast it, guys. He didn't broadcast it. Listen, God doesn't broadcast the people you hurt, the messes you've done. Matter of fact, Jesus hung on a cross. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All right? That's how God does it. That's how our Savior does it. And that's how we do it, right? Yes, Pastor D, we do that. All right. So if you're still broadcasting, you have not forgiven. All righty? Everybody say, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. Okay. All right. Number two, if you're taking notes, fill in the blank. Here we go. How do we know we totally forgive someone? We won't let them be afraid of us. Oh, man, I just would love to let them squirm. No, we won't let them be afraid of us. People who have wronged us, we won't let them be afraid of us. Okay, verse 3. Joseph said to the brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were not able to answer because they were terrified at his presence. Okay, just think about, put yourself in this scenario. Put yourself in those brothers' shoes. OMG, it's Joseph, our little brother, who I threw in a pit, who I really wanted to kill, who I sold for silver, all right? To these traitors, okay? And who I stole his dreams. I stole his dreams. Come on, let's get really nitty gritty on that. Wouldn't you be terrified? You're standing before the number two most important man, all right? And you're probably thinking, oh man, we are dead meat. We are dead meat. This is it, all right? Verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me. Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one who you sold in Egypt." All right, now, how could you say, I would have said, "Where's my gun?" Right? That's what I would have said. But he said, "Come close to me." He's probably just running up, you know, doing the big group hug here. Come close to me. He won't let them be afraid. He grabs him. I can remember, I'll never forget, I had this precious little thing, some ceramic thing that was a hand-me-down from a relative, and one of my kids accidentally broke it. It was accident. It was just kid accident. And they're like, aah! And the Lord said, when this comes to eternity, is it going to make any difference? No. Grab your kid and hug him. Forgive him. Okay? It was just a dumb thing. Probably should not have put it where I put it, really. All right? So, Joseph, how did he do it? He totally let it go. How do you do it, guys? You totally let it go. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure he had a let it go a long time ago. Till that day showed up. He just didn't let go right then. Oh, God, let's let it go. I'm pretty sure he let it go a long time ago. Totally let it go. Okay, number three, if you're taking notes, how do you know if you're totally forgiven? We don't let them feel guilty. Are you kidding? We don't let them feel guilty for what they did. Verse 5. And now, do not be distressed. Don't feel guilty. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. All right? We don't let them feel guilty. Now, Joseph could have done the Old Testament thing, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? He could have done that. He could have done, let me just beat them up. Oh, better yet, let them beat themselves up and feel bad. He could have done that. But listen, he actually removes the guilt. He removes their bad feelings, okay? So, in every relationship, somebody's got to humble themselves and make the first move. Man, I used to hate that. Maybe he'll say sorry first. You say you're sorry first. I'll say you're sorry. Okay. Listen, if you want to repair the breach, somebody will humble themselves and remove the guilt. Write that on your refrigerator the next time you go Warren. Okay? Because if you don't, you short circuit the relationship and you end up on the bed that night hanging on the edge. Dude, I can't believe it. Because I'm not sleeping on the sofa. All right? I have done that. Anybody done that? You guys are so spiritual. I don't know. I went to Rainbow Bible Training Center and man. Okay. Joseph could have expected an apology. All right? He didn't. He could have made them feel guilty, and he didn't. But he removed the guilt. I love it. All right, last one, number four. How do you know if you totally forgive? Everybody say that. How do you know if you totally forgive? You get consumed with the purpose. I'm going to put God purpose. You get consumed with purpose. All right? Verse 6, 7, 8. This is Joseph talking. He says, for 2 years now there have been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there'll not be plowing and reaping. We still got famine. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth. He didn't say kill them. He said to preserve for you a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he made me father of da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Joseph was consumed with his purpose. Okay? Can you see it in that? He was consumed with his purpose. All right? Now, he could have been consumed with the wrong, the abuse, the hurt, abandonment. He could have been consumed by that. But it says he was consumed with his purpose. Oh, I love that. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you, for you, a remnant on the earth to save lives by this great deliverance. That's a purpose. All right, now. He was consumed with purpose. All right? Now, if you get consumed by what somebody did to you, how somebody wronged you, I mean wronged you, put it on a billboard, somebody hurt you, Somebody lied about you. If you get consumed by that, if you get consumed, they all left you. If you get consumed by that, guess what happens? They control you. I hate to be controlled. I just hate it. Okay, I kind of fight this rebellion thing, okay? I have to be honest, okay? I don't like to be controlled. Anybody else? But if you hold on to unforgiveness and you just rehearse it, you let them control you. Isn't that amazing? You, by unforgiveness, let them control you. You're all looking at me like deer in a headlight. Oh my, just say, oh my, Pastor Dean. I'm chewing on that one. Okay, so question, is somebody controlling your destiny? Is somebody controlling your destiny? Because you're holding on to all this stuff? Listen, from the moment Joseph got to Egypt, it says the favor of the Lord was upon him. There's a whole lot of things that happened back in Israel, but at the moment his foot touched the soil of Egypt, it says the favor of God was with him, all right? Everyone got around him. They could see it, right? All right? All right? So, and Joseph, I believe, this is Pastor D belief, I believe he immediately got consumed with his purpose. I believe he immediately got consumed with his purpose. Everybody say purpose. All right. And then the favor of God caused him to be blessed. Then the favor of God caused him to be blessed. And you know, we can have the exact same thing. You can have the exact same thing in your life, all right? Now, let me tell you a story about a friend of mine told me about her husband. They're actually in ministry overseas, and she was telling me the story. She says there was a time that several ministers, can you imagine ministers, man of God, wronging you? Yeah, I could tell you stories. Okay. So some ministers had wronged her husband and just made it really difficult in ministry about things that they said. And every night he would bring up the name of that person, then those two people that did it to him. Every night the whole conversation would start all over again. And one day my friend's the wife said, "You know what? I'm really tired of you bringing that person to bed with me." Yep. And I don't want that person coming to bed with me no more. You know what she was telling him? You need to get over it. You need to forgive. And you need to go on. So, what do you bring to bed? Don't bring him to bed, all right? You need to let go. You need to release him. And you need to go on to the plans and purposes, the destiny that God has for you. All right? So, Joseph was totally consumed. Now, some of you are thinking, Pastor D, are you kidding? Forgive. Don't you know what blah, 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 did? Well, maybe I do. Maybe I don't. Okay. And listen, when I've had situations that I had to forgive, my flesh says throw them over the bus, under the bus, right? Over the bridge and under the bus. All right. I don't want to forgive. That has not usually been my first thing. Yippee! I'm going to go forgive. All right? My flesh wants to see them miserable. Okay? Matter of fact, I kind of delight when I hear something about them. Oh, yeah. All right? But God, on the inside of me, the God who is love, right? God is love. God is love. Everybody said, and he lives on the inside of you. The Bible says, I think it's Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is stuffed inside and slathered all over me. All right? Now, in my own self, when I want to throw them off the bus and under the bridge, okay, whatever, I am not able to do that. I am not able to do that. But the love of God, that the God that lives inside of me, it says, empowers me. Empowers me. Matter of fact, he's pretty almighty, great, and powerful. That great, mighty God's love, this incredible, big God, this amazing God who is love has put this ridiculous amount of love, his love in me, so he empowers me that I can forgive. So when you want to, I can't forgive. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if he has come to take residence in you, especially if you start growing and knowing. Now, when I first got saved, I didn't know much. I probably knew nothing, you know. But as I started growing in the Lord, I knew who he was, how great he was, and what he died and did for me and placed inside of me, that I knew I can, I choose. All right? So, now, but you got this interesting thing going on. It's called the flesh. Go like this. This is flesh. When I want to throw them off the bus, that's flesh. When I want to ride over them, it's flesh, okay? It's flesh when I want them to see them miserable. That's my flesh, okay? But that's not the real me. I have a choice. Everybody say choice. I have a choice to yield to the flesh, okay? Or I yield to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that lives in me, that I let him lead me, all right? Matter of fact, guess what else he placed in you? Fruit. He's placed the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy, peace, blah, 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 blah. Okay? So the first one just nails you right there. He's placed that in you, and I have a choice. I'm going to either yield to that, and then it says produce fruit. It's in here. I have to yield to it, and if I yield to it, I start producing fruit. Love, joy, peace. Fruit of righteousness. I have to choose. Okay. So I will tell you, if you stay in love, the love of God that's in here, if you've let the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've received him, his forgiveness, I might get out of words when I want to describe Jesus, okay? When you let him into your life, you have this love. And this love will repair any short circuit if you choose, if you let it. If you don't, that list of unforgiveness, the consequence, that's bad. It's terrible. It's hurtful, okay? All right? Joseph chose not to hold a grudge. He chose to forgive. And the favor of God was on his life. He cooperated with God. He cooperated. He let go. And God exalted him. And he was a man of great success. Amen. And the topping and the icing on the cake was he had restoration with his brothers. And who was the one person he asked for first? How's Dad? How's Dad? He got the cherry on top because he chose to forgive. He chose to forgive. So, okay, in closing, I'm going to ask you 5 questions. You might just want to close your eyes and don't look at anybody. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Make it colder, Carol. Okay, here we go. Question number one, how much time do you spend thinking about your past hurts, past wrongs, past abuse? Just answer that. If you think about them, your past hurts and people that have wronged you, been ugly to you, the next question, number two, how much time do you talk about it? Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about the person. Talk about the event. Talk about the circumstances. Talk about, actually dig it up. Dig up the hurt. All right? And I'll write it down. Do you have ill will towards that person? 1 Corinthians 13, love does not rejoice. That nailed me right there if I had ill will in bad things that happen to people, all right? So do you have ill will towards that person who hurt you or wronged you, abused you, left you high and dry, whatever? And then number 4, are you willing to forgive, let go of that person? By the way, this morning's a good day to do it, all right? Last one. This one was Pastor Jack did a message years ago about forgiveness, and he said, forgiveness is double giving. You stand before God and you say, God, I forgive. And really, that's where this goes. This is between you and God. God, I forgive. Sometimes God will say, go to that person. Okay? But God, I forgive. And then the double give is, will you pray for them? Will you pray for them? So how do you know if you're totally forgiven? And you start praying for them. And every time Satan just wants to bring up the funny boat, name, okay, you start praying for them. Father, I call them blessed. I thank you, Father, that their family is blessed. I thank you, Father, their children are blessed. And da, 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 okay? Even their finances, all right? So those are some questions that you get to examine yourself. Just, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, where am I standing on this, okay? Now, I'd like to pray for everybody. Is that a good one? How about I pray, all right? I want to give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to you when I pray, all right? And I believe, I really believe there's some people that are going to get released today. All right, so let's pray. You just close your eyes and just get, you know, no looking around. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everybody you brought here today. You brought them here to hear this message. Today was an appointed time to bring light. I thank you that each person here that you're speaking to, I thank you that you love them because you are love. And I thank you that you care for them so much that this word is reaching out and helping us get to our destiny. Now, nobody looking around, but if you chose to forgive, release, and let go of somebody, just raise your hand and say, now I'm going to close my eyes, I don't have to look, but you say, God, I choose right now to release so-and-so. I choose to forgive so-and-so. I choose now for chains to be broken off of my life. Amen. Because listen, guys, remember, it's God's love in you that does it. You just have to, and he's got great ability. You just say, I choose to forgive. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the best part of the service is right now. I have to ask this. Has everybody here chosen to be a child of God? Chosen to receive forgiveness for yourself? You know, we owed a debt. We carried a sin debt that was huge. And there was one person that God sent. He sent his son Jesus to forgive you. And if you're here today, just close your eyes. And I just want to ask, if you're here today and you've not received, and you'd say, Pastor D, I need that. I want to receive that. I'd like to pray for you so that you will be a part of this big family of God. Heaven will be your home. You've got great purpose and blessings and favor in your life when you say, Father, I receive Jesus. So is there anybody here? You just say, Pastor D, that's me. I definitely need that. All right. Well, how about we just all say this together? Because I always get, okay, look at me for a second. Nobody raise your hand, but listen to this. I can't lead somebody to the Lord. What would I say? Repeat after me. Real easy. Okay. This is practice. You know, I love it when you drag him into the office. Pastor D, here's this lady, Kathy, I just met her. Would you lead her to the Lord? I'm like, what were you doing? You brought her. Just pray for her. Okay. I love doing that. But you can do it. All right? All right? So this is practice 101. Okay? And this is what I say. We will all say it together with the people. All right? Well, repeat after me. All right? It is so easy to share and then pray. We think pray. Okay, so here we go. Everybody say this with me. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, paying my debt. Okay, did you notice the two things we said right there? Thank you, Father, for sending, and thank you, Jesus, for doing. Piece of cake to lead someone to Jesus, all right? But you can really just say it really quick. Okay, Now, I confess Jesus as my Lord. I believe, God, you raised him from the dead. And I welcome him into my heart. I'm now your child. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. I was going to sing a song. No. Okay. And Jesus, you are my Lord. All right. Go practice that. Go, yeah, do the real thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Stand up. I love doing this. Everybody say this with me. Here we go. I am the head and not the tail. Come on. I am the head and not the tail. I am blessed. Going in. Going out. Everything I set my hands to. Prosper. In Jesus' name. All right, you one prospering bunch. Go have a wonderful 4th of July. See you in Sherry on Sunday. Amen.